Let's turn together to the book of 1 Timothy and chapter 3, and we read verses 14 to 16. 1 Timothy in chapter 3, we read verses 14 to 16. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 14. These things are right to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up in glory. Let's turn to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning that it has pleased you to gather us in this house of worship. We do want to commit our meeting into your hands and ask that you, our God, may lead and guide us, may speak to each one of us. May you open our minds and give us understanding of the truths of your word. We pray that you might give us concentration and aid your servant who brings this word, that he might do so under the inspiration and guidance of God the Holy Spirit. Do this, our Father, for us, because we ask and pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are living at a time when the local church is greatly undervalued, and its true identity has been misrepresented by what is happening in many churches today. You will find that entertainment is at the center of all activities in the church. Christ is not the central focus of the preacher. The essence of the church has been misplaced, and emphasis has been placed on performing of miracles rather than a Christ himself. The conduct of the people who belong to the church leaves much to be desired. There is no reverence, no fear of God among the people in the church. And the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, he reminds him about the church and how people ought to conduct themselves in the house of the church, in the house of God. And during this session, we have had the church defined and described. Pastor Kombe labored to do that. And he labored that the church is not a building. It's an assembly of God's people. It's an institution of God Himself. And he described the church as, it is described here, as the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, I guess that there could be some here who are at architectures. And they must understand what a pillar does and what a ground does. What does the pillar do? What does the pillar do to a building? It supports the structure. What about the ground? The weight of the building sounds very technical. The weight of the whole building is actually on the ground. It gives a firm foundation to the structure of the building. And we are told that the church is actually the pillar and the ground of truth. First of all, we need to understand, what is truth? Again, this time not the architectures, those moving dictionaries around. How do we define truth? Conformity to reality. Mark the word reality. Reality is not something fake or the gonga parts that we have from China. It's a genuine one. Truth is believed to be factual, something that is real. It is not a fairy tale. It's a reality. And we are taught that the church has been entrusted with the truth, something that is real, by the living God Himself. God has revealed the truth to the church. And the church is the custodian and the witness of that truth. What is this truth that God has revealed to His church? Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. The Old Testament prophecy, they all prophesy about Christ. The New Testament fulfills what has been prophesied about Christ from the Old Testament. That truth, Christ is the center of that truth. The truth is centered on the person and the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where truth is anchored. Remove Jesus Christ, there is no truth. Remove Jesus Christ, there is no change. Jesus Christ is the one who gave birth to the church. He's the one who gave birth to the church. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, we are told, Jesus says, I am the word, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one can have any meaningful relationship with God without the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus that we have a relationship with God. It's only through Jesus that the church was born. The truth centers on Christ and his redemptive work on the cross of Calvary. And this is the great mystery which has been revealed to his church. The great mystery of godliness. It reveals the secret of how you and I can become godly. You and I cannot become godly without the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this truth has been hidden and now has been revealed and made manifest. And this truth involves six affirmations of doctrinal truth about Christ, one of which I'll be focusing my attention on. The other three have already been talked about by my colleagues. The first one was Jesus was manifest in the flesh. God himself became man. The incarnation of Jesus is the central fact of our Christian faith. And we were also reminded that Jesus was vindicated by the Spirit. And our brother Binwell labored to explain and define the word vindication. That he was proved to be the truth by the Spirit. At baptism, during the transfiguration, and at his resurrection. He was proved to be the only truth. And no one else but Christ. And we were told that he was seen by the angels. Our brother Mwango labored to talk about that. That he was announced, his birth was announced by the angels. His resurrection was made known by the angels. His ascension was witnessed by the angels. And they all bore witness to this person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Jesus was preached among the nations. And this is what I'll be focusing on. The other two are, Jesus was believed on the world. Jesus was taken up to glory. These will be taken on by others. But let me draw your attention to Jesus was preached among the nations. Among who was Jesus preached? We are told that he was preached among the nations. Who comprise this nation? First and foremost, Jesus was preached among the Jews, the custodian of the law, to whom the law was revealed. Jesus was preached to them. Turn with me to the book of Acts and chapter 2, so that I show you how Christ was preached to the Jews and how this truth comes out to us. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to be to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did also, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains for Jesus of death, rather, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Now, the Apostle Peter comes and speaks to the Jews. He preaches to the Jews. He doesn't preach anything but Christ. This one whom you killed. This one whom you put to death. But the grave could not hold him. He had to rise again. Notice again what he says in verse 36 of the same text. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Take note of the word, as many as those who are afar off, as the Lord wills and will call them. You know, the Apostle Peter goes and preaches nothing but Christ and him crucified. And when he brings Christ and him crucified, the people's hearts were cut. And they ask, what shall we do? And he tells them, repent and be baptized, each one of you, for the remission of sins. A Christ was preached to the Jews. And it was not, you know, the kind of gospel that we have today. It is Christ who was preached. You know, at some point I heard someone say, you know, the Lord has taught me how to play a guitar. I have married a very beautiful wife. And the Lord has blessed me with a lot of material possession. He can do the same to you. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and be saved, and he will do the same to you. And the man makes an altar call for people to come. And people come and flood the front. And one asks the question, what are they coming to the front for? Is it because they want to marry beautiful wives? Is it because they want to play to know to play guitar? Or is it because they want to have material possession? And nothing of Christ is mentioned. Nothing of Christ is mentioned. Brethren, there is no truth that is mentioned there. A Christ must be preached and him crucified. And I ask you who claim to be believers, you who claim to be Christians, what message did you hear in order for you to turn from your wicked ways to God? What message was preached to you that cut your heart? And you ask yourself, what should I do? What message did you hear? The Bible tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. For anyone to be saved, the truth must be preached. The gospel of salvation must be preached. Christ must be lifted up. Christ, having died on the cross of Calvary, having risen up from the dead, must be preached. Without that, no one can be saved. Because salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus. And so, Christ was preached to the Jews. To who else was Christ preached? Christ was not only preached to the Jews, but he was also preached to the Gentiles, who were considered as outcasts, who had no law, who had no dealings with the Jews. The gospel of Christ was preached to them. Turn with me to Galatians and chapter 1. Galatians and chapter 1. And listen to how the Apostle Paul talks about his commission to the Gentiles. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. My emphasis is on verse 15, but for the sake of context, let's begin to read from verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Mark that. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. The Apostle Paul is saying here that God set me apart before I was born and gave me a commission that I should go and preach Christ to the Gentiles. I must go and preach Christ and proclaim him to the Gentiles. The same Christ who was proclaimed to the Jews is the same Christ who was proclaimed to the Gentiles. The Gentiles and the Jews, they comprise the nation. They comprise the nations. And we are told that the Christ should be preached to the nations. Now, brethren, the gospel's mysterious character is seen in the fact that the Gentiles would become fellow heirs with the Jews. Remember, the Jews considered the Gentiles as nothing. They had no dealings with them. But now, the Jews and the Gentiles would now come together as one, would become one family, united together by one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth, which others considered that it cannot happen. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Gentiles and the Jews have been brought together. And they have become one. And they are heirs to the promises of God. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that the Gentiles should also be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ through the gospel that was preached to them. This is a mystery which was hidden in time past and has now been unveiled. And it has only been unveiled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 tells us now, for there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ has broken the barrier of hostility that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. And he has brought these parties together through one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what God has done even to his church. He has brought people from different tribes, different races, different you name it all. And we've all been brought one in one church. And we've become the body of believers. He has broken the barrier of hostility that existed. There is now no Easterner. There is no Northerner. There is no Westerner. We are all one before God in his church. And it is all because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was preached to the Gentiles, preached to the nations. All I ask you, dear friends, do you feel belonging to the Church of Christ here? Or are you one of those championing tribalism, groupings? There could be a danger in the church where those from the east group together, where the upper Mwamba group together, where those of the lower class group together. Scripture tells us there is now no rich man, no poor man. There is no slave, no free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ has broken the barrier of hostility that existed. And we must all accept one another in the Lord. Christ was preached and him crucified. And him alone is our uniting factor. What does this mean to his church today? What does this mean to the church today? That Christ was preached to the whole nation. God has entrusted the truth to his church. And the church has been commissioned to fulfill the Great Commission. The church now must go out and preach the gospel to the far places. And let those out there be also brought to him. The Great Commission is our mission as a church. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, we are told, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always." That is the commission given to the church. That is the mandate given to the church. That the church must go and preach Christ and Him crucified, so that those on the far end could also be brought to Him. This is the mandate given to the church. Brethren, any church that does not take evangelism, missions to be a priority, is not a healthy church. Get me clear. Any church that does not prioritize evangelism, that does not prioritize missions work, is not a healthy church. And I can zero it in to an individual. Any individual who is a Christian, whose eyes have been opened, who has been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and does not prioritize evangelism, is not a healthy Christian. He's not a healthy Christian. He is not walking steadily with God. And I can justify that. He is living in disobedience, because he's not obeyed the command, "Go, he therefore, and make disciples of all nations." In Matthew 24, verse 14, we are told, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come." Who will do that? It is the church who will do that. It is you and I. Remember the way we were exhorted by Pastor Com. The church is not a building. The church is the people. And we are supposed to preach Christ and Him crucified to others. Any individual who is not involved in that exercise, I repeat, is following Jesus at a distance. Is following Jesus at a distance. Remember when the Apostle Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Apostle Peter, "You will deny me 3 times. What did he say? "Me. I can't deny it 3 times. I can't. It can't work." And I said one time that if it was in my time, if it was in my language and at the village, perhaps Peter was there. He would have said in Kunda language, "Kaleza kaningambe, I will not do that. I won't do it." But what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ was now taken? And he was arrested. Where was Peter? Was he following Jesus closely? At a distance. And when a woman came and said, "Iwe, you are one of them." Ine. Me, being one of them, I don't even know him. Friend, this is what happens when we follow Jesus at a distance. We will deny him in our activities. We will not do what he wants us to do. We will deny him. We will compromise in our faith. But when we do what he has commanded us to do, we will do his will. Many of us are following Jesus at a distance. Many of us are not even having personal devotions, meeting with Christ on a daily basis. Oh, it is sad to say that with the technology that we have today, when one wakes up, immediately one wakes up, the first thing is, let me check the updates of Facebook. Who has updated what? Who has done what? The Bible is nowhere nearby. The Bible is kept at a distance. I wonder how many of us this morning met with God in our devotions alone. And I wonder how many of us turned to Facebook to see what has been posted there. It will tell where you are and who you are following. Whether you are following Christ at a distance or you are following him closely. The Lord Jesus Christ has set before us an example. Let me just show you the example in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, very quickly. Matthew chapter 9 verse 35. Listen to what he says here. And this is about Christ being preached. Matthew chapter 9 verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in the harvest field." The Lord Jesus Christ himself went to preach the gospel. To preach the good news. He went to preach the gospel and preach the good news. And when he went there, what did he see? He saw people who were lost. People who were harassed. People who are like sheep without shepherds. And this saddened the Lord Jesus Christ when he looked at the multitude. I don't know, brethren, what kind of people you are seeing today. At your place of work, in your neighborhood, I don't know what kind of people you are seeing. Are you seeing people without Christ? Are you seeing people who are lost? What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Are you moved to preach Christ to them? Or do you ignore them? Christ is the only hope, and he was preached. I want to say this, that missions and evangelism is costly. It costs your comfort. It costs your time. And if you can't bear the cost, you cannot be involved in evangelism. And let me conclude by saying this. The church has been entrusted with the truth. The church should not modify or alter the truth in order to fulfill numbers and fill up the church. But the church should preserve, defend, proclaim the truth. And by so doing, we will be the pillar and the ground of truth. Amen.